Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, South Bay Spotlight, on February 22nd, 2018. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a really beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Academy of Foreign Languages. If you have any interest in learning a new language or brushing up on existing language skills, you should know about the Academy of Foreign Languages. Located in Palos Verdes, the Academy of Foreign Languages specializes in the art of communication. Their mission is to provide the finest language instruction possible. They recognize that each student has distinctive needs and craft their teaching technique to optimize an individual's particular learning skills. At the Academy of Foreign Languages, they strive to create a comfortable environment conducive to learning. So whether you're learning a new language or would simply like to converse in your native tongue, the Academy of Foreign Languages can accommodate you. For additional information, visit their website at academyofforeignlanguages.com, that's all spelled out, or call 310-975-4133.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our mini adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com and executive producer of The South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great this morning, Joe. I got up extra early because I wanted to watch that SpaceX launch. They launched a little after 6 o'clock this morning. I didn't see anything, though, so I think it was too bright out to see anything. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
Okay. I didn't. No, I don't get up for those things. But I was listening to or watching Elon Musk's tweets about it.
He's such a
micromanager.
Yeah. I saw an interview with him after the last launch, the Falcon Heavy launch, and somebody asked him something like, "Oh, are you thrilled with the results?" He said, "Frankly, I'm always surprised when anything goes right with this." You know, he was so calm about it. You know, so. So I was hoping to see it because I missed the last one. You know, I saw the photographs and the video of the last one. It just looked so amazing. If I had seen that up in the sky, you know, not knowing about it, I would have thought, okay, this is it. The aliens are about to land, you know, because it was just so weird looking. So anyway, I was looking forward to seeing it this morning, but I didn't see anything. So anyway.
It's wonderful. I mean, the pace at which they are launching is just unmatched by any agency, I think, really, in the world. They really are proving that commercial space flight is here. It's here and it's now, and that's great. I'm excited.
Yeah, you know, I watched the videos of the first launch. And seeing those two, what I think they were the booster rockets, seeing them land just blew my mind. Just I was just awed by that. I was like, wow, you know, they think outside the box. They thought outside the box forever, SpaceX, you know, and you know, it's amazing to me that NASA didn't think about that. You know, I mean, they've been in the business for what, 60, 70 years or something. So it's very exciting. Right. It's very exciting. Yeah. So. That's all I have to say about that.
Okay. Well, we have a really special show today. I'm excited about the show. I'm excited about our guest. We're excited about, you know, our tagline, Jackie. We talk about passion. We talk about purpose. You know, we don't often get
persistence. Yeah,
which we're going to get a special word about persistence today, and principle. Jackie, who's our guest today?
Our guest this morning is Yanni Khoury, founder and president of Next Step. He's a disability activist and entrepreneur. Yanni is an accomplished business development leader, philanthropist, investor, and active speaker. He is the president and founder of Next Step, an award-winning, nationally recognized nonprofit organization that provides the opportunity for lifelong health and recovery for people suffering from paralysis. Now, on August 5th, 2006, Yanni's life changed in an instant when he broke his neck diving into the ocean in Manhattan Beach. He was paralyzed from the neck down, and doctors told him that he had no hope for recovery and that he would never walk again. Now, since his injury, Yanni has dedicated his life to bettering the lives of people suffering from paralysis. Founded in 2008, Next Step is dedicated to the idea that all people living with paralysis deserve the opportunity to live long, healthy, and productive lives. Yet today, most of these individuals are deprived of the resources they desperately need for survival because there are no options available to them or they can't afford them. And Next Step provides that opportunity for health, recovery, and independence through cutting-edge paralysis training centers. Now, Yanni has always had an entrepreneurial spirit. Prior to Next Step, he was the North American director for Sulaki Corporation, a world-leading online community entertainment and media company. He was also the co-founder of Orky Media, LLC, a groundbreaking interactive TV and mobile gaming pioneer. Now, listen to this, Joe. In 1997, he graduated from Georgetown University Business School with a degree in marketing. In February of 2018, right, Yanni was inducted into the Georgetown University Athletic Hall of Fame. He was the captain of the Georgetown University football team, the MAAC Defensive Player of the Year, team MVP, two-time first-team All-Conference and All-American, and he still holds the Hoya all-time sack record with 31.5 career sacks. And he was the recipient of the Brunswick School's 2013 Distinguished Alumni Award. So this morning, we're going to learn more about Next Step. We'll talk about the annual poker tournament, a fundraiser this Saturday at the 900 Club. And we're going to hear a little bit more about the gala event taking place in November. Welcome to the program, Yanni. We are thrilled you could join us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm honored.
Often we talk to people that have played sports. You played at a high level. You were successful at a high level. Tell us a little bit about your background from when you were young, because were you born in Finland?
I was actually supposed to be born in Finland, but I was born 3 months premature, so I ended up being born in Cambridge, Massachusetts, but both my parents are from Finland, as is the rest of my family.
Okay.
And so soon after I was born, I moved to Finland, and then was there until I was about 6 years old, and then I moved to New York City with my father.
Okay. And so tell us about the early years, because, I mean, you've had such a successful career and college career. Everything was normal, I mean, when you were a kid. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I had a great childhood growing up in New York City, and then I had a wonderful experience in high school in Connecticut. I was very active, played lots of sports, from football to basketball. Skiing was my true passion, and then that eventually led to me going to Georgetown, where I had a wonderful experience both on and off the field. Then I started pursuing my business career, started a mobile gaming company out of college. We were headquartered in Finland, so I was going back and forth a lot. And then eventually I ended up moving out to California just kind of on a whim, and found Hermosa Beach and just fell in love with our South Bay community.
Absolutely. I moved here to the South Bay in 91. I moved to California in 85, moved to the South Bay in 91. Had a wonderful experience in Manhattan Beach, and then bought a home in Hermosa. And we raised our children in Hermosa, and spent many, many amazing, endless summer days on the beach watching people play volleyball and enjoy this great place we call home, the South Bay. There's something special, though, Yanni, about linebackers. there's a certain killing, I want to say a kill instinct about linebackers. They're not man, usually not assigned to a particular man. They can roam, and you had an instinct about where to go to get that quarterback. Tell us a little bit about that. I mean, anybody who has a record in sacks has a special instinct. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, like you said, it's you know, my job was pretty simple. It's tackle the guy with the football. So it wasn't you know, wasn't the most complicated thing, but you know, I was fast and aggressive. So, and you know, obviously we had a great defense and great coaches. So my job was simple: just look for the ball and tackle the guy, and just happened to be decent at it. So yeah, I just had a great time playing football, but obviously my I didn't know it at the time, but you know, that athletic background and all the struggles you go in playing sports, you know, Duffy was a huge help for me once I had to deal with my injury and my rehab and, you know, my life after that.
Most people don't know, Finland is home to Nokia. It is a sort of, in my world, I'm a software engineer, 30 years career as a software engineer. And of course, in the world of mobile and software engineering, Finland has a special place and has, you know, essentially brought in the era of there's a Nokia phone in the hands of people all over Southeast Asia and Africa that allows them now to get access to many resources that would be impossible without these inexpensive but very, very reliable phones, texting, M-Pesa, which is a mobile money changing application, is changing the world for many Africans and Southeast Asians. So now you're a successful mobile gaming guy. You've got a house in Hermosa and a beautiful girlfriend, and you're enjoying yourself playing volleyball at the beach one day. Tell us, you know, the story, Yanni.
Yeah, so like you said, I was, you know, kind of basically living the dream and had a great job and a beautiful girlfriend, and we just bought our first house in Hermosa. You know, life was great, and we were playing volleyball at the beach, and I just ran off like I always did and to cool off and just sprinted off the beach, and I dove into a wave, and, you know, behind the wave was a sandbar, and just, you know, I was running really fast, so it's a really hard impact, and I just hit my head directly and instantly broke my C5 and 6 vertebrae and was paralyzed from the neck down, and I flipped onto my back, luckily, because I was able to breathe, but I was floating out there for, you know, I'm not sure exactly how long, you know, probably about a minute or so. And I was fortunate that somebody, a off-duty EMT, had was sitting on the beach and happened to see me out in the ocean floating, and he ran out and dragged me to safety, and if he hadn't, you know, I would have drowned out there.
Oh,
right.
And then, you know, yeah, pretty soon after that, you know, there's, you know, they ran and got the lifeguards, and then, you know, eventually they found my girlfriend at the beach, and I was soon taken to the hospital, and, you know, within a couple hours, I was, you know, the doctors came and told my girlfriend that I'd never walk again and had a very limited chance of recovery. And, you know, and then that's when this all started.
I want people to know we're not going to go through the whole story of the rehab and all that. We want to get to the meat of what Next Step is about, but there's some great resources in the show notes. There's a great link to a Good Morning America piece about you. There's a great link to a TEDx Venice Beach talk that you gave. What do you think was the key for you, beyond the fact that you have an amazing wife and amazing partner that stuck with you. What really was the key that made you want to make a difference? Because so many people at this juncture would have said, "It's over. Things aren't going to be the way I thought they were going to be. It's going to be a much lesser life." What was the key for you?
Well, honestly, it's many things. Through my own process, I learned a lot about our healthcare system and a lot of the problems and issues that people with disabilities are facing today. But I realized that I was fortunate, and I had access to the best doctors and rehab specialists and the best rehab center in the world. And that was because I had the financial means to move to Louisville for a year to go to that hospital. And, my girlfriend, now wife, she was able to quit her job and rent an apartment to be there with me. And we just realized that, we were very fortunate to be in that position. And what were all the other millions of people around the country and around the world doing if they didn't have the same resources that we did? And, that's while I was in Louisville doing my rehab, we knew that, we were so blessed to have this amazing opportunity that we need to be able to give back and make sure that others that weren't as fortunate as we were, make sure that they would be able to have access to the same resources that we did, despite, their socioeconomic class. And, I saw such amazing results from having access to the best rehab in the world. I want to make sure that everybody had access to those same resources and had the opportunity to recover and get healthy again like I did.
So obviously these techniques work that you found in Louisville at this rehab center. The techniques work, the science is sound of how they work, and yet they had not proliferated. Why had the marketplace not proliferated the technology? Because we all know the technology of, for instance, heart transplants is one of the business school examples of a technology that is insanely expensive, but it proliferated around the world because it was so successful. It made economic sense for, one after another, hospital made the decision that they were going to go into debt deeply to create a center for heart transplants because they were so successful. Why did this technology for spinal cord injury and other kinds of physical disabilities not spread across the world on its own?
Well, it's still, relatively, when you think of, science and research and all that, it takes a long time for it to really get into the marketplace. Everything starts in a lab somewhere, with rats and whatever, and then it goes from there to like the hospital-based clinics, and then it goes from there. So all these things take such a long time. And when I got injured, this was still relatively new technology and therapy. Christopher Reeve was one of the first individuals to utilize this therapy, and that was at UCLA in a very clinical setting. So it hasn't been around that long, and I was actually the first inpatient to do locomotive therapy and some of these other therapies. So it's still relatively new, so it just hadn't gotten there. A lot of the thinking when it comes to spinal cord injury is still very traditional. Thinking in many places is still, if you have a spinal cord injury, there really is no hope for recovery. Whatever you have after you get injured is all you're going to get back. You might get a little bit stronger, a little bit of recovery, but there's not much hope. But they've now proven through research that is not the case, that if you do have access to locomotive therapy and functional electrostimulation and neuromuscular electrical stimulation, there is a lot of hope for recovery. So now it's time to really expand and get these therapies out there to the communities at large, because they have proven to be successful. And just because you're not jumping out of your wheelchair and walking again after you do these therapies doesn't mean that they're not working. You're getting healthier, and that's really the most important part. You obviously want to recover as much and gain as much function back as possible, but getting healthy is what is the most important thing.
Well,
and that's what
there's
insurance
something
companies
unique.
Need to understand as well. Yep.
Well, there's something unique, Yanni, about an entrepreneur. You were already had an entrepreneurial mindset. Then you had the injury. Then you battled the personal challenges of saying, I want to get better. You then said, hey, I'm getting better, but there's all these other people you describe in the piece and the TEDx about how you're in there getting these treatments, and there's 30 other people, you know, in your ward that aren't getting the same treatment you're getting because they simply can't afford it or their insurance won't cover it. And all of a sudden, as an entrepreneur, you said, wait a minute, there's something here that could be done. And so tell me about that. And what's the economic model of Next Step?
Yeah. So like you said, it was, that was such an eye opening experience that, you know, I had access to these amazing therapies, and I was getting healthier and recovering, but all these people around me did not have access to the same therapies, despite the fact that they were down the hall from them in the hospital. And then I also knew once my insurance dropped me, which, by the way, on average, insurance only covers 36 days of hospital-based rehab for people that are living with paralysis. So imagine 36 days after having a spinal cord injury, you get kicked out of the hospital and you're sent home. Now you have no access to rehab. Rehab or fitness for the rest of your life. You know, that's a huge issue, because without access to that rehab, exercise and fitness, you're going to suffer from life-threatening secondary complications. You know, not being able to walk is obviously horrible, but that affects, you know, your entire body in so many ways. You're going to suffer from poor circulation and blood pressure and bone density issues, and all of that leads to heart disease and diabetes and a million other health issues that could kill you. And so now there's 6 million people, I found out, in the United States that live with paralysis. And there's 6 million people don't have access to a continuum of care. They're really all, the vast majority of them are sitting at home and not able to exercise and get the rehab that they need to live up, you know, a healthy and happy life. So that's really where the idea for Next Step came, is why don't all these things in this hospital-based rehab are working? Why don't we take it out of the hospital and put it into a community setting, so when you get kicked out of the hospital, you can still have access to all of that for the rest of your life? So that's exactly what we did. We basically just took everything that they offered at Fraser Rehab in Louisville and put it into a community setting here in the South Bay. So everybody in the community that's living with paralysis or another type of physical disability can have access to the best rehab and fitness for their entire life. And since opening here in Los Angeles almost 10 years ago, we've now expanded to Atlanta, Kansas City, and Orlando, and now our goal is to expand around the country and around the world so everybody can have access to these resources. And the way we modeled it from an economic standpoint is we're a nonprofit organization. We charge approximately 30% of what it costs us to have somebody in the facility, because we want to make it affordable to all socioeconomic classes. And we subsidize that other 70% through fundraising. So we want to make sure that anybody can afford to come to our facility, not just those that, you know, have the financial means to do so. So because of that, we are forced to do a lot of fundraising to keep our doors open.
So in other words, you are in a position as a nonprofit that foundations can come in and support you, individuals can come in and support you and get a tax deduction. So there is a potential for this to be much more widely available to people, even though they may not be able to afford it. Very much like Children's Hospital here in Los Angeles and several other very, very successful nonprofits. That's a beautiful thing, because that allows people to give and to make a difference. So you're going to have this big, huge gala coming up. We're going to get into that in a little bit. Jackie, do you have any other questions you want to ask right now? Because I want to really get into how Next Step works. And
yes,
and
well,
we've got a piece.
I have a bunch of questions. going back to your college football career, did you ever have any desire to go pro?
You know, I it's funny because, you know, playing sports, you know, throughout my life, it was just always fun. I just enjoyed it. Even in high school and even going into college, growing up, actually, my goal was to become a professional skier, but then, you know, life took over in football and basketball, and I just didn't pursue that further. And but then, you know, I did have a great time playing in college, and started getting looked at, you know, by the NFL, and you know, did my NFL tests and all of that. But you know, my dream was always to go skiing for a year after college, and you know, I kind of just, you know, I don't like to say I have regrets, but it definitely is a regret of mine that I didn't pursue an NFL or professional career further. But you know, I did think about it a little, but I ended up moving to Wyoming and skiing with six of my best friends in college for a year, and had the time of my life living in Jackson Hole. So no regrets, and I had a great, you know, had a blast playing football while I did, and you know, had an amazing time after Wyoming in the business world, and starting, you know, a company with my cousins in Finland, that really enjoyed my business career after college, and now loving what I'm doing with the Next Step. So and no regrets, but yeah.
Oh, that's it. No, that's interesting, because you have this record. You still hold this record, so I would imagine the NFL was looking at you, but you obviously had other things to do. I love that. So, so you had to go to Kentucky to get this treatment, and fast forward, now there is a Next Step in Hermosa Beach. Now, are you finding that people are coming from other parts of the country to Hermosa for this treatment, the way you went to Kentucky?
Yeah, just a quick one. We are right across from the Galleria Mall, down to Beach Boulevard, so it's officially in Lawndale. Yes, here in South Bay. Yes, we have people from all over the world coming to our facility here in L.A., and we train staff from different rehab centers from around the world. And, yeah, unfortunately, you know, I love that we are able to provide those resources to people, but it's sad that people have to fly from different countries in order to come to a facility here in the South Bay, and the fact that they don't have resources in their own countries and in their own cities here in the U.S. is, it's sad and unfortunate because it's not cheap to fly to California. For example, we have partnered with a nonprofit organization called Revive Soldiers Ukraine, and we've been providing rehab for Ukrainian soldiers that are getting injured in their war with Russia for several years now. So every 6 months, we get a new batch of soldiers that come to Southern California for anywhere from 6 months to a year to come to Next Step. But, you know, they're leaving their friends and family behind, and coming to a brand new country, to a country where they don't speak the language. So it's, you know, it's a scary thing for them, but I'm thrilled that we're able to provide those resources for them. But it's really sad that they don't have those resources in their own communities back home. But the positive thing about it is now that we're working with that nonprofit to build a Next Step in Ukraine. So hopefully we'll help solve that problem there. And we're actually working on a project to bring Next Step to New Zealand as well, and other cities in the United States right now. So it's been great from that standpoint that we know what we're doing is working, and we're making an impact on a global level, spreading awareness, and hopefully we will start, you know, adding our footprints and communities, you know, globally.
Well, you know, obviously, if you're gonna go someplace to get this treatment, you're uprooting your life. I mean, you're uprooting your life. It's not just the travel expenses, but once you get here, you have to find a place to live. You got to pay rent. You got to feed yourself, you know, and all that other stuff. I mean, it's so much more than just the cost of the treatment. We have a good friend, a lifelong friend of my husband's, that was very athletic like yourself, and he was mountain biking, and he had a traumatic brain injury, and now he's paralyzed, and it, same situation. You know, his insurance only covered so much, and he hasn't been getting what he needs, but a good story, an old friend of his that he reconnected with through Facebook. I don't know the details. All I know is that he stepped up and he started a GoFundMe page for him to get stem cells to help him. Maybe, Joe, we can get into that a little later. Do you want to talk about that type of therapy, Yanni?
New research.
New research, yeah. I wanted to ask you about that. What's on that front?
Yeah, so there's some amazing things happening right now, and what the eventual quote unquote blue pill will be, I don't know yet. But for example, my doctor, Dr. Susan Harkema, who I definitely recommend anybody listening to read up on. She's doing some amazing stuff with what's called epidural stimulation. And basically what they're doing is inserting a stim unit into individuals' spinal cord injuries. And essentially they are trying to bypass the level of injury through electrical stimulation. And they have seen some amazing results so far in the patients that they've done the study with, and some patients seen getting their bowel and bladder function back, and some of the patients have been able to get from a sitting position to a standing position on their own using this technology and getting sexual function back. And so the results have been very positive so far, and they're about to do another big study coming up in the next year. So there's some amazing things happening in the world of research, but the cure has yet to be found. So it's extremely important that people around the country donate and support these initiatives, because there's amazing things happening, but we still have a long way to go.
Yeah, well, speaking of studies, and this is studies across the board for any type of injury or disease. I gotta imagine that in this particular situation, paralysis, victims of paralysis, they've got to just be want to get into these studies. Is it particularly difficult? Are you a part of any studies?
No, I'm not currently. But yeah, it's obviously, once you have an injury, you want to do everything under the sun, to get better. But it's always an individual decision, and there's a lot that goes into it. Studies are done in they're done in a certain location. So, and most studies require a very specific type of individual that presents in a very specific way in order to participate in that study. So typically, the way studies are done is there's a study, and then the researchers will put it out there, and you can, just like you're applying to go to college, you apply to become part of that study, and then the researchers will, pick the individuals that fit their study best. So it's, obviously very competitive to get into those studies. And but again, it is, an individual decision. So research studies take a lot of time and effort, and can sometimes be invasive, and can also require you to uproot your entire life in order to participate in that study. So it really just, each study varies. So it really just depends on the individual and what you want.
Interesting. Okay, Joe, why don't we do
and
the
no
really
promises.
Quick. Yeah, right.
And there are
yeah.
no promises.
No promises. But Joe, let's do that station break, and let's do that now.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the South Bay Show, and we're talking about passion, and we're talking about principle, we're talking about purpose, persistence, we're talking about, and we're going to talk more about that, we're talking about, I believe it's, Sisu. We're going to find out what that is, Sisu, S-I-S-U. In a moment, we're also talking with Yanni Curry, founder of Next Step, and we're talking about disability and the ways in which people can get better, can improve their lives, and we're going to talk about how that can be proliferated around the world. Normally, we take callers, but today we're going to take the full hour for talk because we have a lot stuff to talk about. Here we go. Jackie, we're back.
We're back. Okay, I'm going to let you take it from here.
Well, Yanni, we've talked a lot about your journey. We've talked a little bit about Next Step. I want to know how people can get involved. I mean, obviously, people that have had spinal cord injury and are looking for a great doctor can get in touch with Susan Harkema, and that's H-A-R-K-E-M-A, Harkema, the Kentucky Spinal Cord Injury Research Center, the Kentucky Spinal Cord Injury Research Center at the University of Louisville. Why Kentucky, Yanni? Why? What was there special about Kentucky that center became the center?
Well, first, so Dr. Harkin was actually at UCLA. She was there working with another doctor by the name of Reggie Edgerton. And while they're there, they did a lot of, very cutting edge research and invented locomotive therapy and other therapies to help people with spinal cord injury and other neurological conditions. And University of Louisville, and Fraser Rehab contacted her and basically lured her to Kentucky, and they built an entire rehab center there for her, in essence, where she could conduct her additional research and really to be at the forefront of paralysis rehab. So she went there, and when she was there, she teamed up with the Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation, and prior to teaming up with them, all the basically hospital-based rehab centers around the country were operating independently and were not collaborating on research and weren't really working together to come up with, a cure and figure out the best kind of protocols and interventions for rehab and so forth. So what her and the Reeve Foundation did was they formed what's called the Neuro Recovery Network, NRN for short. And the NRN is basically a consortium of the six best hospital-based rehab centers in the country. When we started Next Step, we became the first community-based facility to be part of that network, and now there's six community-based facilities that are part of that network. So now there's 12 facilities and networks that are part of this neuro recovery network. So that's a big consortium of individuals and rehab centers that are really working together to get to the bottom of this problem. Dr. Harkema and the Reeve Foundation really spearheaded, kind of this movement. And then now at Next Step, we are trying to build more of these facilities to join the Neuro Recovery Network. And really all of us work together to solve this problem. And so that's kind of how it all started. It kind of all grew from Louisville, but now it's expanded and around the country. And it's been an amazing journey in the past 10 years to really see that people are taking notice and they're understanding that what we're doing is working and it's helping people, and we need to continue to grow and expand Next Step and these other facilities around the country to make sure that anybody living with any form of paralysis, whether it's spinal cord injury, stroke, brain injury, MS, CP, Parkinson's, whatever it may be, have access, to these type of services.
Right. So we're going to talk more about. Well, you know, the thing is, I'm looking for the magic bullet, not for a cure, but for care. The lack of care, the expense to care, the fact that there aren't, you know, there isn't a facility in the top 20 major cities, maybe 10 facilities in the top 20 cities, bespeaks that this is an area that entrepreneurs have not had a way of going forward. When you think about McDonald's, there's one on every street corner in almost every major city on the planet. How do we get there? How do we get there with rehab centers? What is the spark that makes it economically viable?
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's the challenge right now, is because it's the reason, you know, there aren't thousands of next steps around the country, is because the financial model does not work for that. If you're not able to fundraise constantly on a year in, year out basis, it doesn't make any sense to open a facility. I have people contact me on a weekly basis about, you know, franchising and opening next step facilities, but I tell them right away, if you're doing this to make money, don't ever do it. You know, you need to be doing this simply for a passion of trying to help people and providing these services to people. You know, the way to make this truly sustainable and make sense economically is for insurance companies to start supporting what we're doing. Insurance companies would save billions of dollars a year if they supported our facilities. If we're able to start billing insurance for the services that we provide, then it would start making sense economically. And insurance companies are just very, very traditional in their thinking. They still think that, like I mentioned earlier, if you don't jump out of your wheelchair in a matter of weeks, then what you're doing is not working. But the thing is, we're getting people healthy. We're keeping people away from medication and doctor's visits and hospital visits because of, you know, pressure sores or heart disease, or, you know, we're lowering. So that's what insurance companies need to understand, is why wouldn't you support facilities like Next Step and the therapies that we provide if we can keep people out of the hospital? They're spending billions of dollars on, you know, on the hospital costs, and we're telling them that we can keep those people out of the hospital. So it makes no sense for them not to, you know, recognize and support what we're doing.
You know, Joe, this is okay. So Yanni can be the Elon Musk of what did you call it? NRN. I mean, we need people thinking outside the box. We need people thinking outside the box to get this accomplished.
Right.
You know, think differently.
Right.
But unfortunately, the insurance companies, they ain't no Elon Musk, as you just said. They don't think outside the box. They're just the opposite.
No, but they are.
I definitely wouldn't compare myself to Elon Musk.
You just have been.
What's that?
You're in that category now, because the thing is, Yanni, big data is potentially the solution. As driverless cars, I do a lot of research in driverless cars, and as driverless cars become more prevalent, that will reduce insurance claims for people getting into accidents, and so there's a huge incentive for insurance companies to push driverless cars, because it makes their business model much more efficient. So they are doing that. And I think the same would be for facilities like Next Step, community-based facilities like Next Step, because for insurance companies, once they see the big data results that these facilities reduce long-term illness and chronic illness for the people that are involved, then they're going to start pushing people into them. And that means money, and that means it will become economically viable for all those people that want to open Next Steps, you know, around the world to do so in a franchise model. So,
I think the big thing, one big thing for them to understand is it's millions of people in the U.S., there's 6 million people you know, that live with paralysis alone. I mean, that's a huge number. And then when you talk about individuals that live with disabilities, it's, you know, closer to 68, 70 million. So, you know, what is that? That's, you know, a fifth of the population. And,
right.
you know, sadly, you know, the vast majority of these individuals don't have access to these, to a continuum of care and these, you know, rehab and healthcare resources that they, you know, desperately need to live, you know, healthy lives. So it's a really, really serious problem. And, you know, obviously healthcare is at the top of the minds of, you know, all Americans. So it's really important now that we really start focusing on this issue.
Right, right.
Yeah, healthcare.
Unfortunately, when it comes to paralysis, you know, I didn't know there was an issue. I just assumed when I got injured, there would be some kind of amazing rehab center, you know, in California that I could go to. And when I got out of there, there'd be a great, you know, rehab center facility that I could go to. You just assume that that was the case. But sadly, it's not the case. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, it requires getting punched in the face to, you know, kind of open your eyes. But I think slowly now people are starting to learn more about it. And hopefully, you know, next up we're, you know, doing a good job of starting to raise awareness. But, yeah, it is a serious issue. But I also just wanted to make one comment on, while I have a spinal cord injury, and that's kind of how Next Step started. We do our facility work with individuals with all different types of neurological conditions. So whether it's spinal cord injury or stroke or brain injury or MS or Parkinson's or TB, you know, whatever it may be, we work with, you know, all types of paralysis. So it's not just spinal cord injury, because it's, you know, this issue affects people with all types of different disabilities, including especially our, you know, wounded vets. Unfortunately, the VAs are, while they're, you know, they purchase some equipment and they're doing their best, but they are, you know, they don't have the funding to really provide the, you know, kind of cutting edge rehab services that, you know, some of our vets need and deserve. So we do a lot of work with vets as well. So that's a serious issue as well.
All right. And there's a gala coming up. Tell us about this gala fundraising event coming up for Next Step.
Yeah, so we do galas all around the country, and we do a couple events a year here in Southern California. We have one smaller event this weekend, and then we've got our big annual gala that typically happens the week before Halloween. You know, years past, we did a superhero-themed event in Manhattan Beach at the Verandas, and last year we did a Havana Nights-themed event, Smoky Hollow in El Segundo. So every year we kind of change up the theme, but, you know, our events are not your typical, you know, rubber chicken, boring sit-down dinners. We like to have fun at our events, but at the same time raise money and awareness about a very important cause. But, you know, all of our events are listed on our Facebook and our website at nextstepfitness.org. But that event typically takes place the week before Halloween, and it's really a great time, and it's always a few hundred people just having fun and raising money. And I mean, I think the best, you know, the thing I really enjoy is, you know, the South Bay community is, you know, integral to the success of Next Step. This is where it all started, and I think it's a great story that something that had not existed anywhere in the United States or in the world, we built here in the South Bay, and now we've expanded to three other cities around the United States and continue to expand, and now are expanding to countries around the world. And, you know, it all started here. So I'm grateful for the South Bay community for supporting Next Step for so many years. And this on June 5th, we're actually celebrating our 10-year anniversary. So that's another event that we'll be doing at our facility here in the South Bay. So I invite everybody to come out to that, and there'll be more information going out about that event in the coming days as well.
I love that.
Wow.
I love that. You know, Joe, you know, our South Bay community, Yanni, Joe and I, we've been doing the show for now almost 7 years, and we work, we've had just about every nonprofit org, representatives from nonprofit orgs on this show, to talk about, you know, their events and promote their events and what they're trying to accomplish. And the South Bay is, it's a special place. It's a very special place. You know, and we're so proud. We're you know, it's called the South Bay Show for a reason. You know, we're so proud that SpaceX is in our backyard. You know, you know, seriously. I mean, we've got a lot to be proud of in the South Bay, and next step is just another one. I find that so exciting that you've provided this facility where people are coming from around the world to get the treatment they need. It's incredible. It's incredible.
Right.
Oh, well, yeah. Thank you for those kind words. And yeah, like you said, if it wasn't for the individuals and, you know, and friends that I have in this community, you know, next step would not be what it is today. And so I'm forever grateful. And,
so,
you know, and small things like, you know, the South Bay's done a great job about making, you know, different facilities and businesses and restaurants and other things around the community accessible to people that are in wheelchairs. And that's not the case in many communities around the country. So I appreciate all the business owners and the cities doing more to make this community accessible.
Yeah, that's something that you don't think about unless you're in the situation. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Joe.
No, I'm so excited about the future of nextstepfitness.org, nextstepfitness.org. I mean, gait training and standing is very labor-intensive now, but I'm looking forward to when this can be assisted by robots, and I'm looking forward to virtual reality neurotherapy. Tell us a little bit about that, virtual reality neurotherapy.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, just to go back and understand, but there actually is robotic versions of locomotive therapy in existence today already. But the reality is that when you do it with human assistance, with trainers, it actually is more effective. And we don't need to get into all the science behind that, but they've proven through research that it is actually more effective when you're doing the stepping with trainers. Not to say that the robotic therapy isn't helpful, it absolutely is, but it is a little bit more effective with trainers. That's why why we chose to go that route at Next Step. In terms of we work with a another local partner called Miron, and they're doing came up with VR neurotherapy, and it's something that we implemented into all of our Next Step facilities. And something that we are starting to really study and see how it affects our clients and their recovery. And we've been doing it for a few months now at Next Step, and we're seeing some really great results. And it's exciting stuff, and I'm excited to see what the future holds. But, you know, in essence, for example, we can put somebody up on the locomotive treadmill, and, you know, there's programs that, you know, while you're stepping on the treadmill, you are, you know, in the virtual world, you are walking through a park or down the beach or, you know, whatnot, and seeing how that relates to how it affects your movements, and hopefully eventually will improve your recovery. But the feedback we're getting from our clients, and, you know, even when I do it, I've noticed that my stepping does improve, and I have some issues with my ankles. And my ankles are actually flattening out and improving the way I step. So we've seen the early results are very promising, and I'm excited to see where it goes. But, yeah, there's that's the one great thing about Next Step is that we are, you know, we're not – there's not a lot of red tape. Everything that we do is evidence-based and research-based, but I don't have a big brother looking over me saying I can't try this or can't try that. So – when there is an amazing, cutting-edge new type of therapy that emerges in the market, I can implement that immediately if it's shown to be research and evidence-based. Safety is a big concern for us, so we don't do anything that we aren't sure is safe for our clients. But I don't need to go through government approval in order to try something out. So it's exciting stuff. So that's why we are able to always be at the forefront and the cutting edge.
You know, Yanni,
no.
When you mentioned robotics, I had a visual. I had a visual of Sigourney Weaver in Aliens getting into the remember, she gets into that. It's like a giant
robot.
Loader.
Called it a loader.
Loader, yeah. It's a loader. Yeah, yeah. That was the visual I got when you mentioned robotics, and I thought that would be cool.
Yeah, they've got some exciting stuff happening with, with the exoskeletons. And,
right.
They're not quite practical yet for day-to-day use, but some people have really been able to get really good on them. But some exciting stuff happening there, and hopefully one day soon they'll be able to make it as easy as putting on a jacket. But there's a lot of exciting stuff happening in the technology space as well. So
there's some cutting edge research with essentially a suit, very much like chainmail. It's a heavy metal suit, a full body. Imagine a wetsuit that was made of metal, but then it configures as your mind imagines to stand up, to sit down, to walk. This is an exoskeleton with infinite abilities to change shape, and I could not be more excited about the near term and the long term future of exoskeletons, especially for this kind of application. Not to mention the military applications, for which that's where the money is being spent. But these are all things that a former software engineer, Yanni, really, I geek out on this kind of stuff.
Yes, I know. I should have warned Yanni. I should have warned Yanni that you were going to totally geek out on this stuff. Okay, listen, we've only got a couple of minutes left. So, Yanni, please give us contact information, location, website addresses for anybody that wants to get in touch with Next Step.
Yeah, so our website is nextstepfitness.org, and all of our contact information is on there. But you can also email me at jannek@nextstepfitness.org. And our general email is info@nextstepfitness.org. And we are located at 4447 Redondo Beach Boulevard in Lawndale. So we are directly across from the South Bay Galleria Mall. There's a small shopping center there with a 7-Eleven and a yoga studio. So we are in that shopping center. So please feel free to stop by and visit us. And again, if anybody knows of anybody that's living with any form of paralysis or physical disability, I strongly encourage you to check us out, and hopefully we can help you out. And we also offer a lot of great resources. So if you have anybody suffering from paralysis, around the country, we are happy to do whatever we can to help them out. But again, we're on social media at Next Step LA on Twitter and Instagram, and at nextstep.org on Facebook. So I appreciate you guys having me on and helping spread the word about Next Step, and I'm grateful for that.
Well,
we're thrilled.
It's our
we're thrilled.
Honor. We are thrilled. There's amazing world-class talent and people living in the South Bay, Yanni. We've talked about everything that is being done on the space side. We've got the finest food in the world. And now the finest rehab facilities in the world with Next Step. Thank you, Yanni Curry, for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
And we're going to talk more about Sisu next time. I want to talk about the Finnish concept of Sisu. We'll get that. That's our next show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
All right. We had a great time. I hope you all get a chance to check it out. Next Step. It's going to be fantastic.
NextStepFitness.org.
NextStepFitness.org. All right. Bye-bye, everybody. See you soon.
Thank you.